Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
So glad that you are with us today. And I am with Chris Williams and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. We're going to take your calls for the next couple of hours, 1-800-229-3000. We want to help you, and that's what we're here for. And, you know, I say this every day that I'm on here. We have some wisdom in the house with Jackie and with Chris and with our co-hosts. And I want to hear, Chris, what is on your mind today?
Okay, here's what's on my mind today. So I have a problem with our field, okay, okay. With this whole mental health counseling, Christian counseling, therapy thing going on that we're all kind of, at least us, we're obsessed with. And so here is an inherent occupational hazard in this particular field. It's called self-obsession. Mm-hmm. And so self-obsession, let's get honest, the brain does not work as it's intended to under obsession. Mm-hmm. Especially the related part of our brain, the brain that seeks to connect well with other people. And by the way, that is such a great source of security and strength and joy and confidence and all the things that are we're going for in this field. But what I mean by all of this is sometimes we're trying obsessively to fix something in ourselves. And we say that that's a good thing, and because it is a good thing. But oftentimes, the answer is getting outside of ourselves. And so I was reading a study that was showing that teenagers show some of the greatest leaps in confidence, in agency, and in happiness after they start their first job, like job. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I got a teenager inside of me that is really self-obsessive, yeah. You know, yeah. And likes to throw a tantrum. But this really speaks to the role of purpose, mm-hmm. creative engagement for the sake of others, participating in God's goodness for the sake of others, and getting out of some of our obsessive fears and concerns and pains, but getting out of ourselves as Jesus is often trying to teach us and show that us actually does have a profound mental and emotional health benefit to it.
Absolutely. I was with a bunch of women this weekend at a women's conference, and some of the feedback we got was around that idea of stepping outside of yourself. So many of them didn't actually want to come because it's just another Christian women's conference. And what they benefited was seeing vulnerability, mm-hmm. and authenticity and stepping outside of yourself to serve others. And it was really good to hear that women felt like we did that well, that like they could feel the love, they could feel the connection, they could feel the us giving of ourselves to them, and that our focus was on them. While many of the women were exhausted from being up all week making it happen, they were so energized by being able to serve.
Exhausted and fulfilled. That's a good place to be.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's crazy when you think about in this culture where we look at ourselves all the time because of things like FaceTime and Zoom and all of the platforms. And yet we do need other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's profound. And so that self-obsession that you're talking about, Chris, we each can be vulnerable to that. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this and you're like, no, I'm not obsessed about myself. You probably are.
I've woken up for 48 years straight thinking about me.
Yeah, exactly. And if it doesn't get disrupted, we continue on that path and struggle. We're here to pull you out of that self-obsession. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with a New Life Moment.
In C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the lion, Aslan, offers himself as a sacrifice for a little boy, a traitor named Edmund. When the lion rises from the dead, he says, "The witch's knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back, into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read there a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start working backward." Does that sound familiar? It's the story of Easter. Jesus Christ gave his life for traitors whom he loved and was raised from the dead and therefore broke the curse of death. I'm Steve Arterburn. Visit newlife.com for more insight on the Easter story. Thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
It is Easter week, Holy Week, and each and every day, if you are a believer, it's profound to just watch the steps of Christ during this week. And that story in and of itself is pretty profound. The cross has impacted us all, whether we accept it or not. But I don't know about you guys. Do you have practices that you do during Holy Week or, Easter itself?
Well, my practices are to make sure that we're all ready for Sunday since we pastor a church. And so it just depends on what's necessary for that week. And my kids are grown. I used to have the practice of rushing around this week and looking for something for them to wear on Sunday. But they're grown now, so I don't have to do that. It's just me. So, yeah, we're just getting ready for Sunday service.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar to us, although we don't pastor a church, so that's not similar. But really protecting Sunday, protecting that day, reflecting on it. We do a Good Friday service. But the other thing, it's not as profound and serious, but we do, we have a family egg drop competition.
Oh.
So we go to a local parking garage, and we kind of like each level, we drop it off and see who wins. And
I love that.
Yeah. So we just funny.
That
thing.
Is fun. I mean, that's different than trying to color those eggs, but dropping them, that works.
Yeah.
We'll have a big Easter egg hunt after service for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
However you celebrate it, Resurrection Sunday is like none other, and it really is the highlight of the Christian year, really. I mean, if it hasn't been for you, I just want to encourage you just to spend some time in the Word reading about what happened in the days preceding the crucifixion, as well as just celebrating in the gift of salvation that we all receive through Christ. It's really profound.
Well, and Becky, if I could just add something to that, this week also shows us a reality of life, whether, again, we believe in Jesus's death and resurrection and the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life or not. And that is, throughout our life, we will lose things and it will feel like death, including people. Mm-hmm. Grief will be there. But what Easter shows us is that there is life at the other side of that. We have this audacious belief and hope and positivity to look forward to as a result of that. And so one of the things that, the common mantra in our churches is he is risen, mm-hmm. and he is risen indeed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a dark place, I'm going to invite you to change the mantra just a little bit. When you hear he is risen, which he has indeed, you can repeat, "I have indeed. I have risen with him." That's the story, that we are risen with Christ in Christ. And so he has risen and I have risen indeed.
That's powerful. And that's hope, yeah. Right? That is the hope that we receive. Thank you, Chris. We hear people call us all the time, and we're taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. And we hear people who have been in those dark places, and they need the hope. And our hope is not on something that is, shifting and just wishful. It is the truth that Christ did indeed overcome death and the cross for us. And that is, that's our hope, that we can be born again, that we can experience transformation. And this, you know, I obviously we're really excited about the Holy Week and just Sunday's coming. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a Friday experience of life and you need help, we're here for you. And we want you to know that there is hope for whatever you're facing. You know, we've talked about how you can call us, you know, but a lot of times people are listening at different times, and so they can't get to the calls, you know, whether it's that you're at work right now and you're listening, or you've listened at a different time. But you can call us, or if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see where there's a QR code that you can scan. But we set up different options for you, and you can go to newlife.com/radio, and there are there's information there, whether you want to email or you want to call and leave a voicemail with your question. We recognize that there are great needs out there. We hear from you all the time, and we want to be sensitive to being, you know, able to answer a lot of different questions. One such question came in via email, and it was from Maria. And she asked the question, how can jealousy be controlled? And I think that's a pretty good question. Jackie, you want to start? How can jealousy be controlled?
Well, the first thing that came up for me when I heard that question was maybe not try to control it. I think it needs to be acknowledged. And once it's acknowledged, it can be maybe better understood and then moved through. So I think of my four questions. What am I feeling? I feel jealous. Well, where do I feel jealousy in my body? So I can start to feel that come up a little sooner. And why am I jealous? And to start to explore the reasons for why you're feeling what you're feeling and the ways in which we make meaning. And I think getting an understanding of where your emotions are coming from and just being truly able to lean into them and have a conversation with someone about it, even if that someone is yourself and God, I think that that can help us overcome the jealousy. We need to figure out why we're feeling that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really good. I like what you said there, Jackie, that, you know, I was thinking the same thing. Jealousy will not be controlled. Right. In fact, jealousy is a form of control.
Wow.
And so, but jealousy probably does need to be resolved. You know, there's a different term I hear all the time, and it's anger management. And I'm like, who manages anger?
Right.
Anger
right.
refuses to be managed. Right. Managing anger only makes anger more angry.
Yeah.
Anger needs resolved. So we need jealousy resolution rather than jealousy control. We see jealousy pop up in the Great Love chapter. And so I think that this gives us a really good hint on what's going on here. But let me start here. Jealousy starts with comparison. And comparison is a very, very dangerous game. And here are the three fallacies. And there's probably more. But the three fallacies of comparison. One, I am usually comparing how I feel on the inside to how you look on the outside. That's what makes social media and the curation that we do there so dangerous and damaging. Because you may look fantastic. You may be on vacation. You may, and quite honestly, your life could be fantastic, you know. But what I'm doing is I'm weaponizing what I think of you against how I feel about myself on the inside.
Yeah.
And those are apples and oranges,
absolutely.
Right? Then the second one is that I'm usually comparing time and place. Like, you know, maybe someone jumps on, you know, my Instagram or whatever and be like, man, I want Chris Williams' life. And I'm like, you don't get a cherry pick. I don't get my Instagram life. And so you don't either. You know, and there's some great things about it, great things I wouldn't trade in. But if you want it, you got to take the whole thing. And there's some parts of it I don't think you want, right? And so that's that second part. The third part of it is it's relationally destroying. It's there to give either me a false sense of superiority or a false sense of inferiority. But either way, it divides me against myself, God, and other people. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what jealousy does is it points to a felt deficiency in my life. And usually what I'm jealous towards is a solution that's no solution at all. well, I'm jealous that he has this fantastic job, so my life would be cured with this fantastic job or this fantastic partner or whatever it may be. But really, I think what you're saying, Jackie, is really important. Can we then examine what's inside of us? What is the deficiency, which usually points to an unmet need that needs to be met in a legitimate way, which is typically relational?
Yeah, Saturday, that was one of our main goals, was to talk about comparison and to do away with it. Women tend to compare themselves to other women. And I love what you said. It's what you think you're seeing in me versus what you're feeling inside of you. And so I got to share a testimony of my husband's and mine, because we don't look like what we've been through. And people look at us and they think our marriage is perfect, and they want that husband.
Yeah.
They want that marriage. And like you said, you gonna have to take all of it. We got 36 years,
right?
It has not been as easy.
You don't get a cherry pick. I didn't get to. You don't get to either.
Oh no! And so it was really good to be vulnerable and share our story, and to have women respond to that with, wow, okay, I get it now. Me comparing myself to you, not knowing where you are and what you've moved through, does me no good. And so it was really nice to see them start to look at their own hearts and their own lives and start to decide what about themselves did they need to radically accept so that they can make some changes if that's their desire.
And I think that points directly back to the Great Love chapter. Mm-hmm. The remedy for jealousy is authentic expressions and experiences of love.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm jealous of Jackie, you know, because my goodness, man, her influence and her intelligence and her success, and I want what she has. But I come to her and I just say, I'm feeling really down about myself.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you and I think you have it all together. And then we share an authentic moment where we can encourage each other and support each other. That's a genuine and authentic expression and experience of love.
Yeah.
And so then I'm joined and connected, going back to what I was saying before, connection is our source of security, is our source of confidence and joy in the world.
Yeah,
you know,
the negativity of jealousy, that term doesn't allow you to make that connection and be in the relationship.
Yeah.
So I love that. Sorry,
well,
Becky,
and I was just thinking though, Jackie, that same thing, that negativity that starts to get within us shuts our brain down so that we cannot connect what is happening inside of us. We just get so obsessed, to go back to opening.
Totally self-obsessed. Yes.
We get so obsessed with it's about me and it's about what I want and it's about my timeline and my expectations. And we dehumanize the other person. Whether, you know, it's just like what you guys are talking about, whether we see the highlight reel of your life and we determine that you don't deserve that. You didn't earn it. And so, you know, when we can check our insides and when we have those initial feelings of jealousy start to pop up.
Yeah.
What do we do with those feelings? How do we identify them and what do we do with them? That's the next step that we need to be doing.
Yeah.
It has to be interrupted.
I agree. That disruption is so important, and it's connect with someone. You know, what do I need right now? I need connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for someone to come to me and say, I wish I had your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I get to have a conversation with them about, okay, let's see how we get there. Because there's something going on in you that you can make changes of so that you can have the life you actually want.
And right. I think also a good starting point, if you need this right here today like I do, it's start with gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that will start doing is shifting our focus from deficiency to abundance. From what we don't have to what's sitting right in front of us.
Yeah.
And gratitude is such a powerful antidote and initial jump start to combat those struggles of jealousy that we may have.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what else? The gratitude for the other person to be having a great piece of life, whether it is the highlight wheel, and you can say, good for them.
Yes.
Good for them. That alone will start to shift your thoughts from the obsession of jealousy to the gratitude of what you have and what God has given them. Whether you think it's deserved or not, it's the way to go. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking calls. You can call us 1-800-229-3000. And, you know, one of the things that we are celebrating right now is we had a group of donors who committed to creating a match for New Life. And what that means is they gave of their own gifts to encourage you to be part of that gift. And we call it a matching gift campaign. Every dollar that you give, up to $400,000 will be doubled. And so I just want to encourage you, if you have not given to New Life ever, it may be the time for you to do that, because it'll be doubled. And you can go to newlife.com/donate, and there will be the instructions there. Of course, you can always call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can text the word match to 28950. We want to encourage you to be part of what you are hearing right now. We are spreading the news of hope and help for so many people, and you can be part of that. And we're grateful to offer this matching gift campaign. Right now, we are going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Debbie, who's calling us from Dallas and listens on KWRD. Hi, Debbie. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I was have been thinking about calling, and then you're talking about just being self-absorbed today, and I really struggle with just self-loathing as far as how I look and my weight. I've never been overweight, but I grew up with six sisters, a mom who was very, very conscientious about how she looked and her weight, and now that I'm over 60, I've, you know, put on probably 20 pounds. And it's just every day I'm looking in the mirror and just loathing myself. And I can't seem to get away from it. And I've got five sisters, like I said, and I feel like we all struggle with this, even competition with each other, which I hate because we love each other to death. And I just feel in bondage.
We're so glad you called, Debbie, because you aren't alone. Obviously, your sisters, but many, many people, not just women, struggle with this, and it is a trap. Chris, let's start with you.
This is a tough one. Debbie, obviously, you're not alone. This is just, it's epidemic. And yeah. I'm going to start with the negative side of it, but understanding that I want to wrap this in compassion and also call out the fact that I'm a male and this issue is different for me. Even though we share some stuff, it's different for me than it is for you. But what I oftentimes see, and it's reinforced, us guys are actually a huge part of the problem. Our lust driven and pornified culture is a huge part of the problem. And it comes down to value. And value is a place where we draw identity from. It's powerful. We have to understand how powerful this is. And so I'm going to put this in a different category for myself. Like, let's say my value is based on my professional or vocational success and status. So the more I succeed, the more I advance, the more I can draw a deeper sense of security and confidence and satisfaction in the world. But what happens when I lose my job? My entire being is just wrecked and destroyed. We see this the very thing leading to people having suicidal thoughts and ideations. And so we can do that with anything, but one of the things that's common is doing that with our physical appearance. When I look this particular way, when I step on the scale and it's this particular number, And quite honestly, when I go to the store and I could, or out in public and I turn certain heads, then I have value. The place where I can draw my ultimate sense of security, comfort, and confidence from. But if that's no longer there, if it is shifted, then it's a huge, disruptive, painful force in our lives. And so when we start to understand it from that perspective, we can also respect the fact that this is oftentimes very subtle, subconscious. It's not something we're trying to do. It's something that we do and that is absolutely reinforced by the culture around us. And so the incredible work to say no my body is this unbelievable creation of God. It will, my heart will beat somewhere in the neighborhood of 115,000 times today without me having to think about it.
Right.
Now,
it's amazing.
And so we're disconnected with what our bodies actually do and achieve and have. And so when it gets hijacked into pure appearance, we lose actually its miracle and wonderment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been seeing something in social media recently about pretty privilege. Mm. And so the society has told us, just like it has done in so many other domains, but it has told us what is acceptable and what is not in terms of our appearance. And that doesn't always fit all of us, but we have been conditioned to listen to all the noise and believe that we should be something other than what we are.
Yeah.
Whatever you are is not good enough.
Yeah.
And I think that especially for women, it just continues to be perpetuated. So it's really, we have to kind of take back our power in who we are in Christ.
That's right. Debbie, hold on. You can hear the music. We're going to come back. One of the things I wanted to ask you though, Debbie, is there a health issue that is being created because of this? Is there a threat to you because of this? Or is there just some healing that needs to take place? Because you are created just incredibly, like in God's design. And yet we can also struggle with stuff. We'll be right back after this Answering Calls.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking to Debbie and we're taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. And Debbie, when we took the break, one of the reasons why I was asking those questions is it goes back to that comparing. You know, sometimes we're looking at others and we're forgetting about where our feelings are coming from and where does that self-loathing start? Mm-hmm. And Chris, you just said, what was the headline that you said about shame?
Well, self-loathing is a form of shame, right? It's what shame does. Yeah. It's looking for a primary defect or deficiency with us. Shame is always looking for an excuse. It doesn't need a reason, but it prefers one.
Yeah.
So it's out on the lookout. Now, here's the nasty part of it. Because it's about the self and we can't see on the inside typically, it will then attach itself to our body. Mm. Let me just give a small example of this. If we think about, let's call it out, how much shame exists around our abdomen. Okay.
Depends, right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like
for most of us.
Yeah,
most
for
of
that's
us,
a struggle. Like if that's a struggle, mm-hmm. Right? Okay. What's the place in which God creates life in a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. This is, I don't want to over-spiritual, but maybe because we're created as image bearers of God, Satan wants to attack the very places inside of us or a part of us that wants to demean more image bearing.
That tracks for me, even just thinking about this, Debbie's family. My mom is very conscientious about her looks and is teaching that to her girls. And that is now perpetuating what she may think is is their healthy weight so that they do well in the world.
Yeah, but really, it could come from a good place,
right?
But maybe an unhealthy place.
But from an unhealthy place, because really, it might be a response to her own shame about her own experience with weight, or maybe not even with weight, but just being put down or told you're not enough in whatever context that was in that generation, and it lacks the gratitude. So if the self-loathing is definitely the opposite of gratitude, and if the enemy is going to destroy us, he's going to start at the core of the self, the core of, you know, I was going to say earlier, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, if we're attacking that place where that made
we're literally
is coming
made.
From,
yes.
right, then he's winning. And and so putting especially women in that place of feeling less than and inadequate. You know, I've met with women. I know women who aren't having children because it will damage their body. They don't want what's going to happen to their body. So you're absolutely right. He's winning by convincing people that that's ugly.
So, you know, Debbie, as you have heard us talk about this, how does that hit you?
Yeah. It definitely hits home. It's the value issue and the identity and how I'm accepted and even just looking at myself and saying, why can't you? Okay, I can say I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but not with this extra fat. God didn't intend that, and it's my fault that that's there. And why can't I discipline myself enough to change that? And I'm just looking for, you know, do I just need to repeat to myself every day the truth of God's acceptance and my value being completely different and separated from how I look?
I think
it just seems like a daily struggle to just convince myself and just remember these things.
Right.
I think that there's something that needs to be released, because sometimes our weight, it's protecting us. Unconsciously, consciously, we will put on padding to keep ourselves from being hurt, whether it's being noticed because you maybe have been objectified or harmed in some way, or whether we don't feel good enough or we're shamed. And so sometimes the weight can't be released until whatever that hurt is that needs to be released is gone. Mm-hmm. And so there might be some things to sit with and other than the physical weight and for us to find out what do I need to drop? What do I need to let go of?
That's
and maybe that's the mantra. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What is this that I am holding on to? And I've been studying the Psalms, and maybe there is a prayer of lament that your body isn't what it used to be or what you would want it to be, but then also a surrendering to God, but this is yours.
Yeah.
Do what you will. And so the enemy isn't winning the fight, because then we're back to the self-absorption. Mm-hmm. Whatever we're giving the most energy to is the thing that we're usually growing. And so if we're growing, if we're giving energy to the self-loathing of about our weight, we're probably growing that self-loathing as well as putting on more weight.
Yeah.
Well, Debbie, you know, this is what we talk about at Lose It for Life all the time, because it isn't about the weight. It is about what we're feeding and what is eating at us. And I'm going to send you a copy of Lose It for Life, because it isn't just a diet. It isn't just the physical. It is what we've been talking about, is recognizing your gifting, your talents, your wellness, and to have a right mindset, because self-loathing is not what God wants for you. And we want you to have that freedom and that transformation. We're so glad that you called, because you're not alone in this.
And Becky, if I can add one thing, this is an ongoing struggle, I think, for all of us. And it's not the issue can change, right? It's that we are putting so much emphasis on the finite. Paul calls our body a temporary dwelling place. Moth, you know, our money, moth and rust are going to get.
Yeah.
This stuff is all finite, temporal. And our struggle as Christians, and I think our opportunity and our challenge as Christians, is that we are putting our value And I think it, for me at least, it takes a daily conversion in which I'm successful some of the time. Mm-hmm. And I need a lot of Jesus help in it. Mm-hmm. I need to put my value in that which is infinite, mm-hmm. storing up treasure somewhere else. And the last thing I just want to quickly say about that you were saying, Jackie, is I say let go, but it's building a new relationship to your body.
Yeah.
And going back to gratitude, it's that this body related to somebody today. Mm-hmm. This body prayed to God. Mm-hmm. This body is such a gift that allows me to live and move and have my being in the world around me.
Yeah, getting to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the earth is a beautiful thing. And so having the gratitude just on a daily basis, affirming mm-hmm. your pleasure that this body works to be able to do these things. And then also the gratitude of knowing that I can take care of this body and I can make choices that allow this body to have more energy to do the things that I want to do. So my focus is more on how can I care for this body in a way that allows me to do more, rather than how am I caring for this body in a way that allows for me to gain more attention for how it looks.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. Love it. Well, thank you, Debbie. And thank you, Chris and Jackie. We're going to go back to the calls. We're going to keep taking calls. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk with Gina, who's calling us from Reno, Nevada, watches us on YouTube. And if you're watching us there, please click subscribe and like and all of the things. It gets the word out. Gina, I'm so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Yeah, in the interest of time, basically my question is, when do I have the obligation to seek legal counsel and press legal charges on a care provider that failed to provide care?
Is the care provider for you, your child?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more context.
Myself.
Okay.
Myself.
All right. What happened, Gina?
So I had given my ex-stepdaughter power of attorney and asked her to help me when I was going through chemotherapy. And ultimately, she ended up failing to get me to appointments and different things taken care of. Adult Protective Services came to me once I was rescued and said that she was guilty of neglect, abandonment, and abuse. And then once they spoke to her on the phone, he retracted that, said that because I pulled her power of attorney February 8th, that I could care for myself and therefore she was not liable. However, that's not true because I'm still fixing all the care I didn't get. And I don't know if I need to make sure that she's held accountable, or I don't want to act in vengeance, if that makes
right.
sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, she's got minor children in her care, and I don't feel she's safe to care for anybody.
Mm. I'm so sorry, Gina, that this has been your experience with her. You can hear the music. We're going to go to a break. And,
yeah.
We'll come back with some suggestions. It's really hard when you've been betrayed, and that's mm-hmm. kind of what you're talking about. Not only just because you trusted her with your health care, but then to ask for help and it get disrupted again. And I appreciate your heart that you don't want to seek vengeance. However, you're concerned about these littles that she's taking care of now. It's really complex. We'll see if we can get some clarity and hopefully get you on a path towards freedom. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to mention that we are having a spring cleaning sale. It's happening in our online store and it ends March 31st. Shop now at newlife.com for resources that start at $1. Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
You can hurry because when the products are gone, they are gone. Right now we are talking with Gina and it is a very complex situation with her stepdaughter and her own health care. Jackie, let's start with you and we'll help Gina.
Gina, I just wanted to clear up a couple of things. Did you say you gave power of attorney to your ex-stepdaughter?
Yes.
And in your power of attorney, did you give her conservatorship? Did she have conservatorship and guardianship of you because you were incapacitated? Because my understanding of power of attorney is generally it's stating that this person can speak for me in the event I'm incapable of speaking for myself. They know my wishes and they'll carry them out. But that generally happens when someone's unconscious and unable to speak for themselves. It's not the same as hiring someone to be your caregiver. So can you tell us more about what was in the power of attorney?
So the power of attorney, she was able to make all my financial decisions and medical decisions because I was going through chemotherapy and it was getting the best of me.
Okay.
And so,
my medical. You expected her to take care of you rather than expect. And so I wonder if the two of you had different expectations, because the power of attorney that I have for my mom and dad, I have power of attorney to be able to speak on their behalf, but I don't because they're capable of speaking. And so I wonder if she understood fully the expectation. And then to your point, your question is like, now what? And so it seems as though there's some dissatisfaction in the way she provided care for you. And you said she has some young children of her own. I wonder if her focus being on those young children, she wasn't as available for you as you would have liked.
Well, so like so I have a port, and it has to be flushed every 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. October 13th, it was accessed and finished my chemotherapy. I just got into an appointment a week ago to have that port flushed because she did not make my appointment or take me, and we were an hour and a half from my closest care. That's just one example that I can give you right now. I was not allowed to call my medical providers because it made more work for her and I messed everything up. And so in the event that I would get screamed at, I did not do anything for myself. I would email the doctor and say, can you please help me? And they never responded.
Mm. Yeah.
Gosh, as well as I've missed. Yeah.
I was just going to say that's a lot. And it's a little different than just the power of attorney issue. This is, you really need to find an advocate for you where you are and not what you've been going through. Chris, what would you offer?
Yeah, I think that that's right. I think there's a lot of nuance here that is quite honestly outside of my expertise or scope, being in the legalities of it. But Gina, what I would really want to encourage you with is that there, I think it's Maya Angelou who said, when people show you who they are, you want to believe them. Mm-hmm. And that is, and a lot of times these are situations where we need to leave and grieve, you know, let go, but also draw in that process, draw wisdom, because you are in a tough situation. And I am so sorry that you're experiencing cancer, going through chemo. That is awful, and you need really good support around you. And it's really, as Becky said, a betraying experience when someone is supposed to be there for you and does just the opposite, is there against you. But with that said, what we want to be able to do is check our own expectations moving forward. Is that if people show us, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Your intentions and your words can be great, but your actions are really what matter. And so can my expectation meet another person's proper behaviors?
Yeah, and just my nursing perspective is that most counties have a social services department that will come out and evaluate someone who is frail and elderly or extremely ill and unable to care for themselves and will actually determine an appropriate amount of in-home support services. And then they pay that person for the in-home support services. And so you may want to look for professional help in which it's, you know, it's licensed and bonded and it's being regulated rather than rely on someone who doesn't seem to be reliable for you.
And that's what I'm working on. Okay. I just don't know where the obligation is because it takes time, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where I have the obligation to go to law enforcement and say this was done or get an attorney and do a malpractice suit, because these are the things I've been told to do.
by Adult Protective Services, but I don't want to just do it out of spite. I want
What other reason would you be doing it? What other reason would you be doing it?
Because my care was not provided, and it could have been grave. Like, I wasn't even sent with my medication.
Right. Yeah. Well, Gina, here's what I think. You said initially you don't want to enact vengeance. First and foremost, right. You need to get well. You need the care for you. So that's where I would start. Okay. I would get your health stabilized, get the connection like what Jackie's talking about with your county social services or even your last medical, whoever your medical doctor is, say, I need support this way. Can you direct me to social services? Jackie's right. There are lots of agencies everywhere, and you're in a big enough city that there will be some there. But that has to be first and foremost, because, you know, a lot of times when we are not well physically, we will then get focused on things that are not going to help us physically. You're going to be better to decide what the next steps are concerning what happened after you get healthy and strong. Because you know what, Gina, you're valuable. You're worth it, and you're worth taking care of you and to do. And I would also encourage you, if you are not connected with a church in your area, a larger church could also be a good resource for care options, because they, you know, they hear from people all the time.
And many states have and counties have an office on aging. There's an elder council. There's ombudsman. So there are resources out there for you. And if you've talked to Adult Protective Services already and they've taken it as a report, but there's nothing that they can do further, I agree with what Becky and Chris were saying about using that energy to get well rather than using it to focus on how to kind of go after her for neglecting your expectations.
Right. The other part of that, too, I was just thinking, Jackie, when you said that, the American Cancer Society is a national organization that also has great resources for folks who are fighting cancer. And we're going to be praying for you. Gina, I'm going to send you a copy of 100 Days of Healing. It's a devotional that's got the word, it's got scripture and readings, and I think that'll help you as you continue this healing journey. You know, it's tough. Life is tough. And yet there is hope. That's what we were talking about earlier, you know, when we talked about Easter and, you know, just the process, though, of healing can be a challenge for so many reasons. We are here for you. We want you to give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to have another show in about, just a couple minutes. We've got some calls on the board, and I want you to hold on because we're going to come right back. But thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, callers and listeners. We are grateful to be here to share some truth, share some advice, and we appreciate you joining us each and every time.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.